Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for July 6th, 2026. It's the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. I'm Dan, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from adafruit.com. This meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython dev text channel and the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, except when it coincides with the U.S. holiday. In the notes doc, which I'll talk about, there's a link to a calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you'd like to receive these notifications, ask us to add you to the @CircuitPythonistas Discord role. So, as I mentioned, there's a shared notes document. It's in Google Docs that accompanies the meeting and the recording. You can contribute to the document beforehand. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use the document to skip around and view the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes, though more like 20 minutes recently. After each meeting, we post a link for the next meeting's notes document to the CircuitPython dev channel on the Adafruit Discord. Check the pinned messages in that channel to find the latest notes doc so you can add your notes for the following meeting. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hug reports and status updates in the document for us to read during the meeting. This meeting is held in five parts. I'll explain each part as we get to them. So now we've done some introductory stuff. I'll go on with the first part of the meeting, which is called Community News. These are news items of interest to CircuitPython community, and they're available. Well, I'll tell you more about it at the end. So let's first start out with the first part of community news. Let me just get a timestamp here and do some fiddling so I can see the timestamps. Okay. The first item, I've got two news items of interest this week. The first is about something called ScrollKit. This is a really interesting new project. Just to read the description, most LED matrix libraries get you a scrolling hello world and stop. Michael Zeisberger, I apologize if I mispronounce your name, built ScrollKit for what comes next: over-the-air updates to boards in the field, fault-tolerant data refresh, real transitions and effects, Wi-Fi setup with no file to edit, and a built-in web server uses control from a browser. The hard part isn't any single feature. It's running all of them at once on a microcontroller without the display stuttering. It also runs on a desktop simulator, Michael wrote, that exports its own GIFs and videos. So the point of this ScrollKit is that it runs in CircuitPython and lets you control RGB matrices and do really fancy effects with them. It's very nice, and I suggest you look at it and take a look at the demos and stuff like that. It's a very interesting project. And next up, and last for the community's news this week, is another project that's a MIDI to a CV converter using a CircuitPython board with a DAC chip. So this is very interesting. It uses SynthIO in CircuitPython. You can send MIDI messages to it, and then it takes the audio from that. Is sent to a DAC and sent to you get analog output from this. And it's a nice project. Take a look for it. There's a link to a YouTube video for that. So these news items and more are available in our weekly Python for Microcontrollers newsletter. Might take a timestamp. Which goes out via email on Monday mornings. Visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe to the newsletter. Thanks to Anne for putting the newsletter together. If you have any Python on hardware projects to share or any news or content you'd like to see included, please consider contributing the newsletter. Just email cpnews@adafruit.com with a link to the content and maybe a little explanation of why you think it's interesting. There are a bunch of other items in this week's newsletter which are of interest, but they're more about Python and or AI code generation in general. I didn't include those because they weren't so relevant to just Python for microcontrollers, but I urge you to take a glance at the newsletter for those other items as well. All right. Next up, we've got another major section called The State of CircuitPython, the Libraries, and Blinka. This is a quantitative overview of the entire CircuitPython project. This section gives us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status updates. We'll talk about the project overall and then separately discuss the core, the libraries, and the Blinka system. So first up, we've got a discussion or news about the core. And Scott, are you available to read that section?
Yes, I am. Okay, so for the core, we had 5 pull requests merged from one author, Dan. We had 18 open pull requests. That is comfortably under our goal of 25. That 25 is what can show up on a single page. Issues-wise for the core, we had 10 closed issues by 3 people and 6 open by 2 people, so we're net down 4 with a few people involved. We have 775 total open issues just for the core. We have 0 issues not assigned to milestones, so we are keeping up with triaging, and we triage those into milestone buckets, which is the prioritization for us Adafruit-funded folks. We have no open issues for 10.2.x, which is kind of the like high priority issues on our current stable release, which is really good. And then we have 36 open issues on 10.3.0, which will be our next minor stable release. That's pretty ambitious, but Dan's been cruising through those, so looking forward to those getting closed up or rejiggered. And that's where we are for the core.
Okay, so I realized that in preparing this document, I did not include the overall statistics, so I'll paste them in later into the notes doc when we get to it again. But it's just a sum of the things that we're covering right now in any case. Tim, are you available to tell us about the libraries now?
Yes, definitely. So this section covers all of the CircuitPython libraries. These are all hosted on GitHub under 2 different library bundles. We have the Adafruit library bundle, which has 395 libraries in it right now, and the community library bundle, which is at 177, for a total of 572 different libraries that support various bits of hardware and helper functionality on CircuitPython. Let me scroll here. Over the past week, we had 5 pull requests merged by 2 different authors. Thanks to Liz and GR Grant for submitting pull requests this week. We had 2 reviewers, Liz and myself. Of the pull requests that were merged this week, they were mostly all on the new side of things. The oldest one was only 8 days. The newest handful were only 1 day. That leaves us right now with 43 open pull requests. The oldest one of those is a draft that's up to 1,418 days, although I will say on this one, I think we may be able to close it soon. I was looking into a different PR in the same repo, which I think will solve the thing that it was talking about anyway. So next couple of weeks, maybe we will bump this a bit lower. The newest one is at 1 day like usual. Issues-wise, we had 1 issue closed by 1 person, no new issues opened up. And that leaves us right now with 781 open issues. And there are 2 of those right now that are labeled good first issues. You can find those as well as the rest over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is a website where you should head if you are interested in contributing to CircuitPython on the Python side of things. On that page, you'll find a list of open pull requests and open issues. You can take a look through the list of open pull requests. That tends to be the first place we point folks who want to get involved but don't have a specific thing in mind they want to work on. You can go through that list, find something that is interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub, read about what that proposed change is, and then you can review the changes. So you can review the code for syntax, spelling, logic, anything like that. If you do have the hardware, you can test it out on hardware. Let us know how it went in a comment there on GitHub. Once you get comfortable with the process of looking over the code, testing it out, and leaving the comments on GitHub, if you like to join us on the review team that we have over on GitHub, we can work with you to add you to that, which will get you notifications of other things that are in need of review, as well as some other helpful tools. If you would like to start contributing some of your own code, you can also do that from the same page, circuitpython.org/contributing. If you click over to the issues page with the link at the top, you'll see a similar looking page that is a list of links over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues, so they don't have a proposed change yet. They're waiting for a person who wants to come along and work on whatever the issue is. It could be fixing a bug or adding new functionality or enhancements or new examples or things like that. And again, you can kind of click through to GitHub, read about what the issue is, and then in this case, you'd submit your own PR with a proposed change to solve that issue. We do have a guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are more than happy to help you get spun up here on the Discord. So if you would like to get involved, but you're having trouble with any part of the process, version control or GitHub or actions or anything else, just come say hi on the Discord. Let us know what you're up to. We would be happy to help you out. We want everyone to be able to contribute in whatever way works best for them. And I will leave you this week with the new library over in the Adafruit bundle is the ADS7128, which is a ADC and GPIO expander, I believe. And that's what we've got for libraries this week. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. And I will now I put in the overall statistics. So I'll go back to reading them and I put them in the right place in the notes document. So in the past week overall, we've had 12 pull requests merged by four authors, including G.R. Grant, who's already been contributing in the past, but they've been also making a lot more PRs recently. And those were four authors, and there were five reviewers of that. And there were 14 issues closed by five people and six open by two people. So that's a nice net negative open PR count right now. So now we'll go on to the Blinkist section, and I'll tell you about that. Blinkist is our compatibility layer for CircuitPython on single board computers like Raspberry Pi. So it lets you run CircuitPython code, not CircuitPython itself, on something like a Raspberry Pi, and it's a library layer that emulates what CircuitPython does. So in the past week, there was one pull request merged by Maker Melissa and reviewed by Maker Melissa. There are 16 open pull requests right now. None of them are that old. There were three issues closed by one person and zero open by zero people. There are 81 open issues right now in Blinka-related repos, and there are 174 supported boards right now. So let's move on to hug reports right now, and I'm just going to type in another one. All right. So hug reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll just start and we'll go down the list of hug reports alphabetically. You can be text only or missing the meeting. I'll just read your notes when I get to them in the alphabetical list. So first, I'd like to thank Mikey Slar, who's been working on the Max 3421E USB host implementation. He's been hunting bugs. There seems to be maybe a hardware clocking bug, it takes a little longer for the hardware to start up than we might expect. But I think we can accommodate that in software. He thinks that. And also, Mikey submitted a fix to TinyUSB. And now that change, we need to bring TinyUSB to up to date. And so Mikey's working on that as well. And thanks to GR Grant, who's started to work on a bunch of library issues and submitting a bunch of PRs for that. Thank you very much. And also, I'd like to thank various issue authors who are following up on queries. So I'm working on a bunch of issues that are marked for 10.3.0, but some of these issues are from 2024, 2025. They're kind of old, and yet people are still willing to try again or say, like, oh, yeah, I'll get to this. I suggest trying a newer version or something, and I appreciate those people following up with me to see what we can do about those PRs. And next up, we've got Tim for Hug Reports.
Right, thanks, Dan. I have a Hug Report for Relic SE for some improvements to my audio effects pedal code that's in Adafruit Playground, as well as some very helpful information and explanation surrounding a couple of different core modules. So really appreciate that. Thanks to Mikey Sklar for testing the SDIO.io module that I was working on recently, as well as posting some speed test results on writing data to the SD cards, as well as reading also on that one. Thanks to Smitka for continued refinement of Pico Game and updating the documentation. There's lots of great improvements in the library and the documentation surrounding it. So I've been having a great time digging into this Pico Game library, thanks to them. And lastly for me, thanks to GR Grant for submitting several improvements to different driver libraries, echoing what Dan mentioned. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Okay, Scott is next.
Hello, just a quick hug to you, Dan, for really getting through lots of bugs.
All right, you're welcome. And thanks for the reviews. Okay, and finally I'll read Toddbot's contribution. Thanks to Foamy Guy for really cool MacroPad, USB audio digital effects pedal, and the other audio work lately. And thanks to Dan H for fixing ESP now. All right. And let me fix my shift key errors here. Okay. All right. Next up, we've got status updates. That's our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. As before, I'll start, and then we'll go through a list of people alphabetically. You can talk about what you've been doing since the last meeting and things you might be doing until the next meeting. And if there's something that you want to discuss that's a little long for status updates, we can move it to the In the Weeds section. So I'll start. And I just want to say I'm continuing with issues to get 10.3.0 out the door. I fixed 7 bugs since last week, a number of them with LLM help, being my intern, kind of. And sometimes it was good at figuring out a bug I couldn't figure out. And I've closed 2 more issues that are no longer a problem. So we're down to like 36 issues for 10.3.0. I may push some of those forward if they're not showstoppery kinds of bugs or regressions. And next up, we've got Tim.
All right, thanks, Dan. I have been working on a guide for I2S microphones in CircuitPython that's published now, so you can find that over on the Learn system. This documents a couple of projects that use the new audio I2SN module. I also published on the Playground system a MacroPad USB digital effects pedal. This is using the USB audio that I worked on recently as well. So that one doesn't have as much surrounding material, but the example code is there as well as the basic instructions. I implemented the SDIO.io module for Raspberry Pi port, and my goal here was to hopefully enable the SD card writes to be fast enough to be able to keep recording streaming audio in real time, which I'm happy to report does work now on Raspberry Pi RP2350. So we weren't able to do that without SDIO, and now we are, so that's super cool. I am beginning to work on a StreamWriter audio module, so this would go along with lots of the other core audio modules. It could function sort of at the end of an effects chain, and it would allow you to write to the disk, either flash or an SD card, wave audio files, either from stuff that was generated with SynthIO or from the effects chains like audio delays and audio speed and all of that stuff that's in the core. The other thing that I looked into last week was continued on with Pico Game stuff, so I've made it about halfway through the last of the current tutorials, and I am excited to try out the Fruit Jam support, which was added late last week as well, after I get done with the last tutorial. And that's what I have been up to. Thanks.
All right, thanks very much. And finally, we've got Scott for a status report.
Hello. Last week was a short week, so I did as much as I could on the Game Boy cart, and then fired off, or did a revision of it and sent it off to JLC. So I did manage to get like the logo showing up, but I didn't manage to get like all the way to the point where we were controlling the Game Boy. But I realized a few things as I was doing that. One was that like I had put the control signals far enough away from the data signals that I couldn't, like the PIO that was doing the data stuff couldn't access the control signals like clock and read and write and CS, which is makes it much more difficult. And then I also realized that there is an example of an existing RP2350 card. And what they do is they put both the address data and control pins all within a 32-bit range that PIO can access. And so I did a lot of pin reshuffling in this version with the hopes of making it... One, I'd love to try to run that firmware, but also, two, just making it easier to actually get things done with that. So I am... switching from the Game Boy stuff back to the hardware in the loop testing, did a bunch of soldering last week, and now I have a bunch of boards that I need to get working. So I am going to get that all set up here and really try to get something working by the end of the week where I can run a test across a bunch of different Espressif boards all at once. So that's my main goal.
Okay. So thanks very much, Scott. So that's it for status updates. We don't have any in the weed extended discussion topic this week, so I'll just wrap up to note that next week we're going to have the meeting at the normal date and time, next Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern U.S. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. So July 13th is the next meeting, and you'll see a pinned message soon with a notes document in the CircuitPython dev channel. So thanks, everybody, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.